3 days of Jonah's fast has been repentance, obviously, because that's the theme of Jonah. And we're lucky enough today to have outside, I'll be joining us soon, a few sisters from Basilius Think Monastery. So the talk won't be very, very long, so that we have time for them to do a prayer with us afterwards and some contemplations and things like that. So the topic that I got today was how to make repentance last a long time. So the talks prior today was the call to repentance, which everyone gets, responding to the call to repentance. And so once you've responded, how to make it last. So as I was thinking about what to talk about today, on Monday night, Abu Niul tried to put me on the spot. And he said, there's this book called The Forgotten Medicine, The Mystery of Repentance. And so he said, Father Paul, please come up and give us a talk about that. And luckily I've read the book in the past, so I said, all right, I'll save it till Wednesday. So the talk today will be basically a summary of that book. So that's the book there. It's called. It's by a Russian priest monk who basically talks about confession as the mystery of repentance. So the two are hand in hand, particularly in our church. The two go together, they're inseparable. And so he talks about why some people don't confess, why they have a problem to confess, what are some of the ways of doing confession badly, what are some of the ways of doing confession well. So we'll go through some of that. So he starts with a story. He says, there's a rich man, he's got heaps of money, and he's traveling. And then he gets to an area where he's tired, he wants to rest. He doesn't have a home there, so he starts to enter people's homes and ask them to let him sleep there. So he goes to one home, mansion, as you can see on the screen there. As we can see, we have some lovely guests with us today. I'll continue my talk. It won't be very long, and then Abu and Jonathan will come and do all the introductions. Okay, so as we said, the theme of the revival that we're having for the last 3 days is the Coptic Church is at the moment doing a fast called Jonah's Fast, which commemorates the 3 days that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and we fast for those 3 days. And then we feast on Thursday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the theme of these 3 days, we do a revival at church, and the theme of the 3 days is repentance. So the first day is the call to repentance that everyone receives. The second day was the response. How do we respond to that call? And today is about how to maintain that repentance ongoing. So as I was saying, today I thought I'd focus just a little bit on confession. The way we do repentance in the Coptic Church is repentance and confession combined. And so I thought to just summarize a book by a Russian monk about that topic. So he starts with a story. A rich man is traveling and he gets to an area where he needs to stay at someone's house. So he starts to door knock. And he says to himself, because I'm struggling now, I need something from someone. When someone gives me what I need, I'll give them from my treasure. So he goes to the first house, which is a mansion, as you see up there. And what he encounters when he goes, and they say, welcome, come on in. He goes in and he finds a pigsty inside. He says, I can't stay here. And he leaves. So he goes to the next house, a mansion again. He says, this is nice. This one probably better than the last one. So he goes to go inside. And then he finds the owner coming out with a shotgun and says, get out of here. He says, okay, no problem, and leaves. Another mansion, very nice, they have nice cars back then. And so he says, can I stay? So he goes inside and he finds it's a mess. It's just chaos. He says, I can't, this is too much of a mess, and he leaves. Another mansion, he says, let me stay at this house. Finally, please, I'm getting tired now, I need to sleep. Goes inside, gets into the bed and he finds worms coming out of the bed. He says, this is disgusting. He leaves. Then he finds a nice little humble cottage, nice little timber humble cottage. And he says, oh, look, it's rubbish, but I'll take it. I'll take it, I'm tired. He goes in and he finds a nice, simple, made room bed clean. And he says, I will stay here. I'll stay here and I'll pour my treasure on this humble little home. And so the Russian monk comments on this and says that these houses are like our hearts, and this rich man is God. He's traveling, he's looking, he's looking for a heart. Some hearts, they welcome him in, but their heart is a pigsty. It's a pigsty, it's impure. It's not fit for him to live, so he leaves. Other hearts reject him. They come out with a shotgun. I have no interest in you. As we were commenting yesterday, the unforgivable sin, the one that cannot accept repentance from God. Unforgivable sin, because I do not come to you for repentance. Another house where it looks clean on the inside. Everything seems nice. You call God in, and when God comes in, it's full of worms and mess and full of little sins or big sins. You know, the pigs are like big sins, filthy sins. The mess, the chaos is like little sins that accumulate. These are our hearts. And then there's the simple heart, the simple, pure heart, clean, ready for God to come in. And then God pours his treasure. God pours his treasure on that heart. So the question is, how do we get that heart? How do we clean up our hearts? So I thought to comment quickly on what is sin. What is sin? Just do all of them. So St. Augustine, as you know, I mean, he spent his life, a good portion of his life, away from God in a lot of sin, searching for God. And so he had I like to call a restless heart. His heart was restless. He was looking, searching, trying to find. And he tried different religions, eventually came to Christianity through the tears of his mother. I won't tell all the details of his conversion, but he makes this comment, "Thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it repose in thee." So the consequence of sin is that I'm restless, I'm searching, I'm made for God, and sin is that thing that takes me away, that makes me restless. Anything that is made for something, if it doesn't get given that right environment, it's restless, it's uncomfortable. And that's our heart. We're uncomfortable unless we have God in us. And in 1 John, we say that sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. There's a law. Christ has put a law in our hearts, and sin is anything against that. And overall, sin is anything that separates us from God. Let's not pick nitty-gritty. In general, sin is anything that separates us from God. And it can be unique to an individual. Some things can be sin for one and not for another. And the solution, of course, is Christ, who brought that division back together again. Christ who brought that division back together again. So, what is confession? Why does the Coptic Church harp on so much about confession? And I'll tell you why. I mean, it's biblical. I mean, Christ talks about it. When he sends, at the end of his mission, and he sends out the apostles, he gives them a command. And this is the command. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So he breathed on them and said to them, "You have the authority on earth to do this, to absolve or not to absolve." Of course, it is God who does it, who affects it. But it's given in the authority of a man to affect, to carry out that sacrament. So it's God's mechanism. It's God's mechanism. He said that this is what you need to do. Now, there's, of course, aside from the fact that Christ made it his mechanism, there's practical benefits for it. I mean, the biggest one being accountability. Just simply being accountable to someone who is your spiritual father, who is your spiritual guide. So it's easy to commit sin, keep committing sin, and no one ever knows about it. But if you feel that someone... I'm accountable to someone, a human being, for that. It's just simply a practical reason. Now that you are not really accountable to that human being, but you feel that way. It reminds you of your accountability to God. As well as the fact that guidance, simply as guidance, as a spiritual father, as a guidance to exit sin. So this Russian monk then comments, so what are some people's problems with confession? Why do people have such a problem with it? So here's a few objections that he comments on. First, I am so sinful, can God forgive my sin? I've been far away for too long, I've done too many bad things, extreme things. Is it possible that I'm forgiven and is it possible for me to reach an elevated state? You know, Abunio yesterday was asking the question, what's better, to never have sinned or to sin and repent? Which gives you the higher level? And he asked me to answer and I didn't know the answer, so I said they're both the same. But I thought about it a bit further and I think it's true, they are both the same. I mean, if you sin and repent, you might carry a consequence, but you achieve the same level of glory as anyone who doesn't commit sin because God wants you back as his son. His forgiveness is perfect. It's not imperfect. It doesn't give you 80%. It gives you 100%. So that comment, can God forgive my sin, is what we're commenting on yesterday, the unforgivable sin. To not believe in the Holy Spirit to forgive my sin is the unforgivable sin. It's the only condition for repentance, for forgiveness is repentance. It's the only condition. So it can't be forgiven if you don't repent. I don't need it. I have no special sins. The Russian monk comments on this comment, I have no sins, as a double sin. Because then you call yourself not the Son of God. To say, even St. Paul said, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all commit sin. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. So for me to say that means I don't recognize my sin. I must be very far away. Why should I confess when I'm going to sin again? And this, of course, is something very relevant to all of us. You think to yourself, okay, I have certain sins that I commit all the time. And I know I'm going to commit them again. There's just no way I'm not going to. So why should I bother repenting or confessing from a sin when I know I'm going to do it again and probably daily? Probably daily. I just have an angry personality. I know I'm going to snap again. I know I'm going to commit that sexual sin again. I just know it. Why should I bother? That defeats the purpose of repentance. Because repentance is not that you don't commit sin again. That's not what repentance is. Because we don't know that until it happens. Repentance is that fight to not do it again. It's that knowledge that I would do everything in my power not to do it again. Will I do it again? Maybe. Maybe I will. Probably for sure I will. But that fight, that daily struggle, makes us pure. And you may be pure, more pure than you think. You may think you're impure, but before God you're so pure because of the fight. So it's that constant, it's like that room that was full of little junk. What's the point of cleaning when I'm just going to sleep in the bed again? So that you can enjoy the bed every night. There's no point leaving the bed a mess every single night. It doesn't make sense. I confess before God. Why do I need a priest? That's what, as I was saying before. There's practical reasons for it, very practical reasons for it, as well as that's Christ said it. Christ said it. Confess to one another. I go only for the priest to pray absolution. Again, he said this one's a double sin because you're making fun of the sacrament. To think that you're going to go to a priest without repentance and just say, I did this, without actually repenting and think he's just going to absolve it and it's absolved, is a double sin. It's making fun of the sacrament as well as not taking it seriously, as well as the fact that your sin is not forgiven. All right, so what should I do before confession to prepare myself? So this Russian monk, he comments on the case of Judas versus Peter. And he says that, and let's read quickly what happened in Judas' case. Let's read quickly. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And of course, let's compare that to Peter. Well, after he After he committed his sin, after he recognized his sin, he wept. He wept. Now, what's the difference between the two? Judas wept. Judas felt sorry for his sin. In fact, you can say Judas confessed his sin. He gave back the money that he was given. So he felt sorry. He confessed. He gave back the money. Yet, he went and killed himself. Peter, on the other hand, became a great saint. Now, what's the difference between the two? And the first thing that this Russian monk says about preparing is believe in the fact that you are forgiven. Believe in that. If you can't believe in that, then it's pointless. And that's what leads you to despair and suicide and misery and all those other things. Bunyul told a story yesterday about a guy that put himself on the train tracks because he was so miserable he thought his sin couldn't be forgiven. Believe. The first thing, all you need to do is believe that I'm forgiven. Go to confession knowing that I'm being cleaned. That's all you need to do as preparation. Well, that's the main thing. And of course, be repentant. Be repentant. Try to feel repentant for your sin. Only requirements you need before going to confession. What should I do during confession? Okay, so these are some practical points. Remember that when you go to confession, who you are in the presence of. You are not in the presence of just this priest. You're in the presence of God. Your confession is wiped away by God. So remember that. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind. This is something I never did, but I've heard Abuniyub always tell people that used to come to confession on their knees. Why? Kneeling down before God. Not before a man, but before God. No false fear. Don't be scared. I mean, as Father Joseph was saying yesterday, one priest is never going to remember anything. I remember when I used to confess to Abuniyub, I used to think he remembered everything I said. He doesn't remember anything I said. Every time I spoke, he'd ask me the same questions over and over again. He doesn't remember anything I told him in confession. Right? Because one, he's too busy. And two, I think there's a sacrament there. God removes that thought from his mind to remember someone's sin. So don't have false fear. Don't be worried that I'm going to be embarrassed. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Don't justify your sin. Which is we do all the time. You know, we tell an elaborate story to try and twist it on its head to make it actually look really good that I did that. I snapped it, but only because, you know, they were like against God. Right? And people do that all the time. And you find ways around it. Especially if you're good with words, you twist it on its head. And then you make excuses for your sin. Don't make excuses for your sin. God knows the circumstances. Just, I confess for being angry, poor, whatever. Don't hide anything. Anything hidden on purpose, cannot be forgiven. Anything hidden cannot be forgiven. It needs to be exposed to be cleaned. Like I said, no general terms, especially with the Arabic-speaking priests. Okay, we speak English well. Some of the Arabic-speaking priests don't speak English so well. So we start talking in vague terminology so they don't get it. Right? They don't really get what we're saying. And then you think, no, I confess that I'm good. You know? But it doesn't work like that. Okay? It doesn't work like that. If you know that they don't understand what you're saying, you need to be clear. Not detailed, but clear. You don't need to go on and on about what you did and detail and there's no need for that. But we need to be clear. Be brief and accurate. Don't talk so much. You know, a lot of people go to confession to talk a lot, and poor people like us who are sitting outside waiting for confession, waiting 1 hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours, there's no need for that. Just quick list. If you're one of those people that talks a lot, make a list. Make a list and be quick. Nah. Bunny was the one with the big list. All right. Don't confess other people's sins. Don't confess other people's sins. Again, we have a habit of doing that to try and take away the burden of ourselves. This person led me to the sin. This person pushed me this way. This person did this. This person did that. Don't confess other people. It's not the forum for confessing other people's sins. In fact, there's no forum for that. There's only a forum for your own sins. Don't go to confession to boast. You know, don't go to confession to try and twist it in somehow you're making yourself look good. Like, I was fasting the other day, and I was doing an extra couple of days, and then I ate a little bit of fish. You know, something like that. You know, that's not the forum for boasting, to make yourself look good. Okay? Again, it's a trap. it's a trap, especially if you respect the person that you're confessing to. You want them to think you look good. So don't. That's not what confession is for. Again, this is not all from me. This is from the Russian monk. Again, like I said before, have a firm intention never to do the sin again. That's true repentance. So it's not that you're never going to commit the sin again. It's that intention that I will never do it again. I go out there with my heart 100% believing I will never, ever lie again. Never. I lied and I will never lie again. It's never going to happen. Nothing will push me to that. And then you may lie again. But in my heart, I had the strongest intention never to do it again. That's repentance. And one day, you'll come out of that and you will never do that sin again. But if you never have that intention, you'll continue to fall in sin. You'll never overcome it. But if every time you have that firm intention never to do it again, one day it won't happen again. It's like those people that smoke. It's exactly the same. Those people that chuck away the cigarettes and try, eventually one day they never pick it up again. Those people that are always talking about one extra sin, five extra cigarettes, I'll just look for the next week and then after that, they never stop. They never stop. It's the people that chuck it, firm intention. Yes, they fail on multiple occasions, but eventually they stop. So what should I do after, quickly? So the book is called The Forgotten Medicine. So he says, take your medication. You will be given instructions, some sort of penance, some sort of spiritual activity, exercise, do something, give back, whatever it is. Make sure you listen to what you're told. Don't go out thinking I'm clean and just ignore anything that you were told in confession. Make sure you listen. Make amends with anyone you fought with, and give back anything that you took. So if there's any kind of tension or hate in your heart, correct it. Correct it. And remove temptation from your life. So the Russian monk tells a story about a sailor that he was out at sea and he almost died. And he said to himself, I never want to go out to sea again. But he lived in a place where he had ocean views. And he was tempted always to go back out to sea. So what he did, he walled up that window. Remove that temptation. Get rid of it. Don't allow yourself to see it. Okay, some tips and tricks to making it last. To make it last just quickly before we finish. Make confession regular. Like I said, that accountability to a person, makes you remember your sin. Makes you feel guilty about doing your sin. Helps you try to avoid sin. You know, when people used to come to me to say, I want to stop smoking, I always used to say to them, all right, but you need to keep coming see me every couple of weeks. Why? Accountability. They feel guilty to come to me and say, I'm still smoking. So it's accountability. It works. Write down your experiences, and I'll tell a quick story about this. Right? So if you have an experience with God that pulls you away from sin, so sometimes we'll be in sin, and God will show us something or do something in our lives that pulls us away from sin. And we get out of it. And we're so happy. And we thank you, God. And we love you so much, God. And then we forget the experience. So I say write it down. I'll tell you, I was going to comment on this as a consequence. But let's talk about it now quickly. Solomon. Solomon had two major experiences with God. Where God appeared to him. Granted him his wish. And later in life, when Solomon goes a little bit wrong, the verse says, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against Solomon because he turned away from the Lord who had appeared to him twice. So his biggest error was forgetting that experience he had with God. Forgetting it. He had the experience. No matter how subtle it is, we've all had experiences, something to show us that God's there listening to my prayer. Yet we forget it. And that's a big sin. And that leads to disaster if you forget. Because if God is going to go through all that effort to appear to you, to show you that I'm here, tap-tapping alek, giving you something, and you ignore it, there's major consequences to that. The anger of the Lord is aroused against you. So be weary of that. So write down your experiences just so you don't forget. Now go back. Make vows or covenants while you are excited. While you're in that repentant state, make some sort of covenant or, God, I'm going to do this from now on. I'm going to start fasting Wednesdays and Fridays. I'm going to start going to confession. I'm going to start going to Mass on Sundays. I'm going to start reading the Bible every day while you have energy. Because while you have energy, you'll be able to make these erratic demands of yourself. Later on, a day later, you're going to forget and you won't be able to do it. So make vows while you're excited. Not extreme ones that you can't fulfill, but little things that you can remember. Surround yourself with people that encourage you. Other people that are confessing regularly, who are repentant, who don't do the things that pull you away from God. It's a lot easier to make good friends than it is to influence bad friends. It's a lot easier. Bad friends only ever damage. Only ever damage, especially at young age. Especially at young age, but even in older people. Daily reflection and quiet time. So if you sit down with yourself every day and reflect on my day, the way I've done things today, the way what have I done? Have I committed that sin again? Did I let that sin of pride enter my heart today? Did it get in there? Did I comment wrongly about someone? Did I judge someone else? Daily reflection helps you to remember those things that you're trying to get rid of. One thing I think is a good idea is every year on New Year's, you make a vow to God that this is the year of something. Year of humility. The year of purity. The year of something. Write it down and make that your goal for the year. Make that your goal for the year. So every time you find that that sin creeps into your heart, you have a goal that year. Just one thing is enough. Or year of the Bible or something. Don't judge others. And judging others is a litmus test. Is a test to see how repentant I am. Because if I find myself judging other people, I'm not looking at my own sin. If I'm looking at my own sin, when you've done a major sin, you'll find that you don't judge anyone. All you can think is guilt and frustration and please God forgive me, and I'm not looking around at other people. It's like someone who's got a major illness. Someone's got a major illness, they focus on themselves because I have a big problem that I need to deal with right now. I don't see other people's problems, I don't judge other people. If I find myself judging other little things in other people, big things in other people, I'm not reflecting on myself. So it's a litmus test. Just a quick Abuna Yostas El Antoni. So he's a monk that died relatively recently in St. Anthony's Monastery in Egypt. I won't tell all of his story, but just basically, he used to have this concept in his head that I'm always waiting for my departure. I'm always waiting for my death. So he used to go around, and every time he didn't see anyone, what time is it? What time is it? And then ask him a question, hey, can you please pray for me? What time is it? And then he'd run off. What time is it? And run off. And everyone thought he was crazy. But of course, he was a miracle performer. Because all he could do was remember that this life is not going to last forever. So he remembered that. So I say that story as a last practice point, the remembrance of death. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. This world doesn't last forever. My life does not last forever. So if I remember that, then maybe I have a chance of keeping my repentance for a long period of time. And I think that's it. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any questions? Yeah.
How often should we go to confession?
Okay. Good question. I think a general rule, if you're quick, once a month is very reasonable. Because it doesn't take very long. If you take a very long time, it's not practical to do once a month, either for you or for them. So I think once a month is a reasonable option. If you find that's too much for you, then maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months, 30.